Hello everyone, welcome back to another Craft of the Draft video. In this episode, it's a bit of a part two to our first video on Vic Metro's National Championships. In this video, we'll be looking at how Vic Country went. We're going to be doing a player-by-player analysis, going through each player in the squad that did play a game and giving our thoughts, how they went, where we think there'll be improvement in these players and who had a bit of a standout championships. Country went 2-2 in the end. It was a bit of an up and down championships. I think you'd tend to agree on that. They started pretty poorly against SA, who did look like one of the weaker teams come the end of the championships. They went down by 19 points. They then went to WA and just got over in a bit of a nail biter. It was pretty even for most of the game and they just got up by 2 points. They really did take it up to the Allies. And I think we said post-champs, if they'd been the Allies, they would have won the whole championships, weirdly enough, because if they beat Metro in that last game, and we think it would have been done on head-to-head, which means
it was done on percentage, so they wouldn't have got up.
If it was percentage, they wouldn't have, but it would have, still. They did take it to the Allies. It really just was a bit of a patch in the third quarter where Allies kicked away, and they did come back. It was close, but it was actually a fantastic game to watch. And then against Metro, 9 goals in a row in that third quarter and blew them away with some pretty sensational individual efforts.
Yeah.
But let's get into it. Let's go player by player. I'll start with Ollie Poole from the Bendigo Pioneers. Overall, and I think we agreed, it was an okay championships. He didn't really get to showcase what I think he's capable of. And there were elements of his game that did shine, but when you compare them to the other halfbacks in that country team, you probably don't sit there and think Poole was one of the better ones. He just did his job regularly, but I don't think he really stood up enough to make a name for himself. And we know his kicking's really good across halfback, sort of moving down the wing in transition, but I don't really think it stood out too much. Did a bit more in the last game against Metro where he got a bit more involved, but otherwise I think it was a bit of a quieter championships from Poole, but still, we said this a lot in the Metro video, there is still time to make your name in these last couple of weeks of Talent League and especially moving into finals. So that was Ollie Poole.
Absolutely. That sums up what you could say about all of them with the time that's still remaining for them to showcase their weapons. Cooper Simpson only got to play a half for Vic Country before a badly corked thigh in a position of his thigh that he had already injured earlier in the season got hit, so then he sat out the last three games. I still have him in the upper rungs of this draft class. I think what he adds to the midfield is a really clean presence, a really defensively minded presence, and I think the best that the Vic Country midfield looked, you could argue, was in that first half against South Australia with what he was able to provide, and it was good to see him around the group for the last three games as well, helping out in the midfield at breaks and making observations. So certainly a real figure around the squad. Obviously, we know he's got the leadership component being the Dandenong co-captain.
Well, we know his potential is part of the AFL Academy squad, and we know he'll go back to the Rays and do very well there. On to Tom Anastasopoulos from the Geelong Falcons, one that I've loved watching since the start of the season. It was a very 50-50 champs. He either played extremely well and showcased pretty much all his weapons that he's capable of, but he did show quite a bit of, I guess, weaknesses in his game. It was a bit fumbly, not very clean at times, but when he did turn on his pressure, he got reward for it. He was able to hit the scoreboard, use the ball really well, move it inside 50. We saw that in pretty much the second quarter of the Vic Metro game, especially. He had a pretty poor first start to the game and was able to turn that around. And I think that was something that showed a bit of character about him as a small forward that we know loves to run opponents really into the ground. He's done that quite a lot where he'll just run and run and tire his opponent out. So it was a passable championships. We saw the good, but we did also see the bad, which you have to take into account. But I think he's a player that has a lot of upside that can be worked on. So a pretty good champs from Tom A.
Zane Jersma certainly gets a pass with his last game and that third quarter in particular, where he got the matchup on Braden LaPlanche and really tore it apart the game, kicked 3 goals. And that was he was the leader of Vic Country taking the game away from Vic Metro. We know how well he can play off half forward. We saw that last year at the Gippsland Power. We've seen that this year at the Gippsland Power. Obviously, been spending a lot of time in the midfield, and that's been a really good education piece for him, and we've been able to see his burst away from stoppage and been able to see his clearance work, which we saw a little bit throughout the championships, and he was very impressive. But he took it from a very good championships to a great championships, I think, with that last game and that quarter in particular, with his ability to just switch it on, showed why he's a top 10 prospect.
And another projected top 10 prospect, if not the number one projected prospect, Harley Reid. We know his talents. He pretty much showed that in every game. It was his game for most of it, especially the first game. He came out 3 goals in the first 9 minutes against SA, set the tone and on the highlight reel straight away. We know how impressive Harley is. I guess the only negative of his game was really he did take it on maybe a bit too much. There were times where there were better options, could have used it, but I guess that's part of his game, and usually it does work to his advantage 90% of the time. But, I mean, how can you talk really negatively about his championships? It was fantastic, as you would expect.
Yeah, I think you're being harsh on him. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you did have to find a negative, it is very hard, and you are clutching at straws, I guess. But, yeah, also the co-captain of the Vic Country squad is worth mentioning, and won the Vic Country MVP. Harley Reid, moving on to Cade Delarue, a Beaconsfield boy and a Dandenong Stingrays player, who was a really important ingredient off half forward, I thought. He was particularly important in that win over Western Australia and has a really good way of getting his hands on the footy. We know that can be difficult playing half forward, where the ball can sort of go over your head or you can lead up and you're not used. But yeah, he has a way of finding his hands on the footy, making good decisions, lowering his eyes, going inside 50. He's really clean. He's one touch and he's strong through the core. I thought he showed all of that and more throughout the championships. So I think the championships really boosted his stocks. And yeah, I was really impressed with his game. I can't really reflect on anything and think he had a quiet patch or anything. So yeah, really pleased with what I saw.
Yeah, it was probably those WA and Vic Metro games that were the big standouts where he really was able to show his talents. Oscar Ryan, now Murray Bush Rangers boy. It was a bit of a quieter championships. He had his moments and obviously he was battling against about five other halfbacks in that Vic Country team. So it wasn't the easiest job to make yourself stand out. But he did show his ball movement, his run and carry through the corridor. He was able to show that at time. He was pretty good with his hands. I guess there were just periods where he was a bit quieter. He was taking some good intercept marks at times, but I think he did reasonably well considering the battle that he was up against in that Vic Country squad where he was playing a similar role to four or five of them. So
yeah,
it definitely wasn't a fail, and it was a pretty reasonable chance from Oscar Ryan in the end, and he's one that played really good football back at Murray.
And one who he was up against is his Murray Bush Rangers teammate in Kobe James, who also plays off that half-back line, was out in that last game, was rotated with that depth that you say, that surplus of halfbacks that we saw Vic Country go into the championships with. But what he did produce when he did play was that run and drive off halfback, that real productivity with his ball use as well. And I think we also saw that in terms of a few moments he was able to produce against the young guns. So it wasn't just in the championships, but also in the trial matches. So yeah, I was really pleased with what I saw from Kobe James, and I do enjoy watching him for the Murray Bush Rangers. Probably more of a moments championships where he catches your eye and does something and you're like, geez, okay, there you go, rather than him putting it together for a full game anyway.
Back to Bendigo Pioneer, I think the first bottom major of this discussion, Archer Day Wicks. Yep. He had a pretty good trial game leading in and he deserved his spot to get into the final squad. He played the one game against WA where he did have some moments. He kicked a nice goal, snap. So it was what you expect from a bottom major. Got his hands on the footy. Very good experience for a player like him who loves to get his hands on the footy. He's pretty dangerous inside forward 50. And that was something that I think got him recognised back in those trial games around April. So he was able to translate that against WA. So a good moment for Archer Day Wicks, and he'll build into next year pretty nicely.
And also worth mentioning just the meteoric rise of Archer Day Wicks as a player this season. I think if you asked anyone at the start of 2023 if there was going to be one bottom major from Bendigo in the Vic Country squad, everyone would have said it was going to be Toby Trevaglia. He's still very highly rated. But yeah, certainly Archer Day Wicks has come along and come along quickly and performed really strongly at talent league level and earned his opportunity. Yeah. Kobe Shipp, another Beaconsfield boy, a teammate of Cade Delarue at Beaconsfield in the Dandenong Stingrays. His best game in terms of productivity with possession was probably the first game against South Australia, where he stood tall and was probably the only, arguably the only Vic country player to boost his draft stocks in what ended up being a disappointing result against South Australia that you touched on. But he showed that he was able to not only get his hands on the ball, but make the right decisions. We know he attacks the ball really hard. He's shown that last year and this year for the Dandenong Stingrays, been a real staple for them. Playing in an unfamiliar wing position throughout the championships, and thought he showed that he understood that position really well, was able to hold his width and come in and impact where necessary, but just wasn't able to get his hands on the ball in the last three matches as he was as much in the first match, but certainly showed that there is a little bit there, and that he is up to the level at under 18s level. I suppose the question is, what's his weapon at the next level? But that's something for others to discuss.
For sure. I'll move to Joel Frazier, GWV Rebels. He's one that I've loved watching, especially in the earlier stages of the season. He kicked 6 against Dandenong before the first main break. In my honest opinion, I thought it was quite disappointing, especially the first 3 games. I just didn't think he was able to translate how good of a player he is into that big country team. He got his hands on the footy, but it felt like a lot of almost moments, which was a little disappointing. But I thought that last game against Vic Metro, he finally was able to showcase how talented he is. He was so clean with his ball use, was moving inside really well with his vision, his kicking. I mean, he's a big body. He could probably put it key forward and he'd just dominate there. But he can move through the midfield for such big size. His running patterns are terrific. He's a great two-way runner. So, look, if you say 1 out of 3 games, 1 out of 4 games was good, you'd call it a fail. But I think overall, he did get there in the end. Took him a while, but I'm glad he did get there. He's a terrific player. So he'll go back to Rebels, and he's been terrific there. He's probably been in the best 90% of the time in the Talent League games this year.
Harry Jamatea, the other co-captain for the Vic Country squad, had a pretty strong carnival, I thought, and probably boosted himself up from probably being around that second round mark to perhaps being a first round prospect. So he played most of his time through the midfield. He played a little bit off half back and played particularly off half back in that last game. But I suppose to go through chronologically, thought against South Australia, what he was able to show was that speed, burst and acceleration away from the contest. He got 3 really eye-catching centre clearances, I remember, where he just got the ball and was able to take off. No one was able to lay a hand on him. Perhaps if there was a criticism from that game, it was that his ball use wasn't as neat as it could have been. But I thought what he was able to do in the last game was show that he is able to kick it really effectively, whether that be hitting targets coming up to him or whether that be hitting targets going longer down the ground. He was a lot more efficient, and the numbers did show that. So it was an impressive turnaround, obviously playing a different position. Against WA, he also had a really impressive defensive effort late in the game, which ensured that they were able to hold on, and it was a solid game for him there as well. But yeah, his leadership overall on field is something to also note. I noticed it in the trial game, and I noticed it a couple of times throughout the championships in terms of how he orchestrates and directs traffic. So he has that really strong understanding of the game and is able to communicate that really effectively with his teammates. And that's before you even look at the cultural stuff that he's able to bring, obviously being in that high-level elite talent pathway environment that he's been involved with the Dandenong Stingrays and Melbourne in Vic Premier Cricket and all the other cricket pathways he's been in. So, yeah, I'm really high on Harry Jamatea.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said, I thought that was so underrated, the last effort against WA. It was a critical punch that really stopped after the siren shot for WA. And it was a great moment for him. I'll move to one actually that I both would like to talk about. It's one I was going to talk about, but I think he played terrifically. Angus Hasty for the Geelong Falcons. I don't know. Would you agree? I think he was arguably the best halfback in that champs of Vic Country. He was just he translated everything he's been doing and working on straight into that Vic Country team. And he had some pretty hard tasks at times, but I thought he was able to compose himself really well. He was just very athletic. He was very athletic, and I thought that's something that stood out. He was able to get up against taller opponents. We know his drive out of half back and his kicking with that left foot has always been a strength of his, and he was able to use that really well to his advantage. Well, I mean, I'm guessing you're going to be pretty similar on me, but what was your opinion on him? Because I thought he had a pretty fantastic champs.
Yeah, I like it. It's an interesting one out of the halfbacks who performed most strongly, because there was obviously so many that came into the champs that were hyped. We talked about the 2 Murray boys. There's also Billy Wilson, also Lamont Lawal, who we'll get to. So, yeah, there was a lot of halfbacks, and I suppose if you do look at it, he was the one that was most consistent across the four games. Had the job on Nate Paddy in the last game, who does have a few centimetres on him, and is able to get a fist in there. So that defensive accountability and that ability one-on-one is a different element of his game that he was able to show. A little bit of balance in his game. We know how important that offensive drive is off halfback, and that's what Talent League's all about, promoting those weapons, but also showing that he's willing to do it in terms of when the ball's coming in and he's able to lock down an opponent, something that probably grew throughout the championships. So, yeah, I thought it was a reasonable championships from Angus Hasty and yeah, probably the best of those halfback types that Vic Country went in with. Moving on to Finn O'Sullivan, who, yeah, there's been a lot of hype around him. Obviously won the Kevin Sheehan medal last year as a very good under-16s player, and he's Vic Country. He plays for the Oakley Chargers. What he does is exceptional in terms of his work rate. So I think he played the last two games for Vic Country, and he produced some eye-catching moments, hit the scoreboard, and was really important going inside 50. But it was just his ability to get from contest to contest and really help drive them forward was what really took my eye. I think also thinking about his cleanliness and his efficiency with ball in hand, he didn't really waste a touch. Every time he got his hands on the ball, he had that maturity to make the right decision and was really composed. There were a few big moments in games and a few big moments in quarters where he found himself in open space or he found himself under pressure and was able to hit a teammate and set his teammates up, put them in better positions. So a really well-rounded couple of games, I thought, from Finn O'Sullivan.
I'll move to another bottom major, Sam Lawler, another Rebels boy who we've heard quite a bit about now, and he's been pretty talked up around how much potential he has. And he spent a bit of time in the midfield mix actually against WA, where I thought he had some pretty impressive moments. His composure out of traffic in some of those stoppages on the wing was something that caught my eye. Again, a bottom major that got some very good experience out of it and probably came out with a pretty positive outlook of how he played in the end, stacked up really well against, you know, the top age talent. So it was a very passable championships for Sam Lawler. Pretty excited to see what he'll bring for the Rebels at the end of it, towards the end of the season and moving into finals.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacob Grant, an Endeavour Hills and Dandenong Stingrays player, was one who played two games for the championships. I think in the first game, he probably wasn't able to show what he was able to show at Dandenong, which is his vertical leap and his ability overhead and the ability to take marks and then obviously hit the scoreboard as well. But then was a late inclusion for the second game with Michael Rudd being out with a hip injury. And I think that's where he flourished. He took a screamer from three deep in the pack, and that showed his vertical leap because he got a lot of elevation off the ground there. But just in general, he's able to be a lot more dangerous inside 50. He was an imposing figure, and not only was he able to take some marks, but he was then able to finish cleanly as well. Got a couple of goals, so hit the scoreboard. So, yeah, a really good experience for him. And his rise has been really steep. I don't think there were many people that expected him to make Vic Country conversations, let alone actually play games for them. So to give context to how far back he's come from, not only does he have the Dandenong Stingrays squad and is he going to make the best 22 there, but just to make the Dandenong Stingrays squad, he's come from Endeavour Hills, which is a Division 3 Southern League club. Southern League isn't necessarily the strongest local footy league, and he's playing for a club that's competing in Division 3. So he has come from a long way back, so all credit to him for the rise that he was able to show.
For sure, move to Archer Reid, Gippy boy that you've obviously talked a lot about and with your work as well. He was terrific. I thought he did everything he was capable of doing. And I think the WA game was one that really impressed me. He probably showed his versatility inside the forward 50 in terms of he's not just a tall forward that leads, takes marks, set shots. He was doing it from different angles and really taking the game on inside forward 50, which I really liked. And then we saw in the last game as well against Vic Metro was another impressive performance. He's just, his hands are really strong, and that's probably one of the best in terms of key forwards that's able to really take it. And his kicking was pretty spot on most of the time. Your opinion, because I know you've watched quite a lot more of him, so what was your opinion of his champs in the end?
He played in the championships last year, so he got the experience as a bottom major, so rawer than he currently is, and he is still a raw, obviously developing key position prospect, but 12 months earlier, and he would have been a lot better for that run. And I think it was really good to see him after showing spurts throughout the season for Gippsland. And you can see the clear upside in him with, like you say, those hands overhead. And when he gets that run and jump at the footy, he looks really dangerous. But to be able to take 8 marks inside 50 in the last game was really positive. And then also against the Allies, he was able to do some really positive things and hit the scoreboard. But the other part of it is he did it on Ollie Murphy against Vic Metro. So Ollie Murphy's one who's a top 10, top 15 prospect now, probably. We've seen some of the jobs he's able to do. He's able to close down Jed Walter as well as anyone's been able to do this year. So to be able to halve that aerial battle and to win some one-on-ones against him probably showed that he has taken a real step forward in his footy. And there was a bit of consistency in that last fortnight of the championships from Archer Reid. Moving on to Cooper Hines, a bottom ager who got exposure in the last game after kicking 8 goals across the previous 2 weeks for the Dandenong Stingrays, including a bag of 5. He probably didn't get much of an opportunity to get his hands on the ball for Vic Country, and that's not a slight at him necessarily. He just wasn't able to necessarily get himself involved in the game. He'll be a lot better for the run, but playing that sort of half forward position, it was difficult. It just wasn't his day. The ball wasn't coming his way, and it can be that way when you're playing that position in any footy team. He was thrown into the midfield for a very short period, and I do remember a kick he had inside 50. He was able to hit a target lace out. Might have been Tom Anastasopoulos, might have been Zane Dersma. And yeah, when he did get his hands on the footy, he made the right decisions. So it was just a quiet game from him. So yeah, hard to get a gauge when you're only playing one game. But yeah, no, good to see him get his opportunity.
For sure. One that I'm very big on that could potentially go top 10. Yeah. Darcy Wilson from the Murray Bush Rangers. I just love the way he plays his football. He's just a very reliable player that you can rely on in all thirds of the ground. Very, just so classy when he was using. He was probably best in at least 2 of the games. Sorry, not best, but just in the, you know, top 5 in 2 of those games. Just really classy with his ball use. And it was his vision inside 50 that was so impressive at times as well. He's able to lace out forwards just so well from any angle. And then he was moving inside 50 at times and creating a bit of a goal threat. I know he did it in that first game against SA, but he's just someone you can rely on to put in the effort across the ground. His running ability is extremely strong. He's a great aerobic runner. And yeah, part of that Lon Sox crew of him, Riley Sanders. So it's good to see. But it was such an impressive championships for him. I think he's one that, in terms of the actual draft, I think he's a bit of a steal. He could go like as low as 11 or 12 and pretty good steal for an AFL club that picks him up.
Certainly. Reak Andrew, we didn't get to see throughout the championships, played some footy at Dandenong Stingrays. He's got a little way to go, obviously. He's still a raw, developing key position prospect and coming back from injury as well. So that means he's a little bit rusty when it comes to fundamentals and that sort of thing. So he didn't get the opportunity to play. A player who did get the opportunity to play and was a late inclusion to the squad, though, and got the big job on Jed Walter, is Oscar Gorth. He kept Jed Walter to 1 mark when those two were playing on each other, I've been told. So to be able to do that after he took 14 marks the previous week is a really big nod to him and has to boost him and put him in some sort of conversations, because not only was he able to spoil Jed Walter and his body positioning, reading the cues up the ground, able to be a really important asset for his team, but he's also able to take a couple of marks both on Jed Walter and then the following week against Vic Metro and then get involved in offense as well.
Yeah, he was fantastic. It was just a great story in general, considering he just had that call up halfway through and what a task to have, and he just did it terrifically as well. He tired out Jed Walter, and I know Jed Walter's work rate's fantastic, but he did have to work quite hard to get that ball, and pretty sure he was a bit inaccurate on that day in the end. So it was, you know, just those little things as well he did that made him stand out even more. And yeah, it was very deserving that he did end up getting that squad, because he did prove that he's capable. And yeah, it was a great call from the Rebels coaching staff to push him forward, because he definitely did the job in the end.
Only 192 centimetres as well, so giving up quite a lot of height, but was still able to match it physically and engage with Jed Walter, who's a very strong boy. I'll go through a couple of Geelong Falcons key defenders who played the first games and then were unsighted after that, Hamish Pearson and Tom Pearce. So Hamish Pearson is a 19-year-old who's come back into the program this year and was able to get a game for Vic Metro, which is probably really good for him because being an overager, it's, you know, you can easily be overlooked and end up getting a little bit lost if you don't make it in your top age year. So good to see him get the opportunity. Probably wasn't at his best against South Australia in terms of his one-on-one stuff, and a bit unlucky, I think, not to get another opportunity, because he did go back to Geelong and perform very well after that game. And he also showed some really good signs in some one-on-one battles playing for the young guns in their series. Tom Pierce is one, again, really good opportunity for him. This year's the first year that he plays as a key defender. So for him to even get in the squad and play that position shows how quickly he's picked up that role. But yeah, again, only one game for him. So pair of Geelong Falcons players who got one opportunity.
Well, I'll continue on with a pair of JWV Rebels. Yep. Two more and then one more after that. Lamont Luau and George Stevens. I'll start with Lamont Luau. We sort of had question marks going into the champs with Lamont. It was whether he could really polish his ball use. And I think it improved. Probably can't deny it didn't improve. It definitely still has some work to go. We know his athletic ability is really good. His running, his speed off halfback. He knows where to go. Like, he, in terms of his football knowledge, where to run, how to get the ball, I think you can't deny it's there. It's just his polish with his disposal. It does let him down at times. So it's whether he can really touch it up now moving into the back end of the season. And it did improve as the championships went on. And then George Stevens, one I had, you know, negatives on, but I do take that back now. I think he definitely fixed his kicking up and his ball use was terrific. We know how big he is. He's probably one of the biggest in the draft class, along with Jed Walter, in terms of size. You know, he was able to use the ball really well out of the contest. His burst is hard to stop when he's moving that fast. So I thought he was terrific. Probably one of the best, the top five country players over the championships, just proved his talents and his strengths were just terrific in the end. And yeah, it was just, he lowered his eyes. The vision was something that stood out and that improved probably from recent Talent League games, where it felt like it was just get it, kick it and hope for the best. And it was probably that 44 touch game against Dandenong that really lifted him, because I think since then he's played terrific football. So he's really one that's bolstered his stocks quite a lot.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fair appraisal, Nathan. I think Will Dawson from the Gippsland Power and the Leongatha Football Club played the last two games in defence, and that's where he looked best. He played three games in total, but his intercept marking in a couple of those games against the Allies and then against Vic Metro really caught the eye. So he's able to read the play early and then able to get himself into position and not only beat his opponent one-on-one, but then back himself to take the mark. So he took five or six against the Allies, then would have taken at least three against Vic Metro. So yeah, really impressive display from Will Dawson, and it's not a position he's familiar with either. So to be able to come in, we talked about it with Tom Pierce, be able to come in and impact straight away at that level shows his adaptability and versatility, having previously played as a ruck, as a key forward and as a big bodied mid at Gippsland Power level this season.
For sure, I thought he was terrific, especially in that last game against Metro. He was pretty sure you were tallying his intercept marks. It was quite impressive in the end. Yep. I'll move to Lockie Charleston, the last GWV Rebel on the list. One of the small forwards I've quite liked watching. It was on and off moments for Charleston in the end. I think he went, when he was quiet, he was pretty quiet and didn't get around it. But he was one that, sort of like Tom Anastasopoulos, when he brought his pressure into the game, it definitely impacted the way he got his hands on the footy. He used it well, the confidence got up. He did get on the score sheet, I think at least in two of those games. So he was pretty productive, didn't play in the last game against Vic Metro. He's a player that definitely has the traits there. They were there at times. I think there was enough to show what he's capable of. Another who probably needs a pretty good end to the Talent League season just to solidify what he's built on this season.
Yep. No, that's yeah, well put. I think Nathan, he's a very exciting small forward to watch when he's at his best, Lockie Charleston. Noel Meraz got a couple of opportunities from the Dandenong Stingrays last year to play as a double bottom major, then obviously played some decent footy for Dandenong this year as a bottom major, and then able to come in to play for Vic Country. I thought in that last game he was able to clunk some marks as a raw developing key position player, and also took some ruck contests. So Joe Pike didn't play against Vic Metro, so he was the secondary ruck again, obviously Lockie Smith taking the primary mantle. But yeah, I thought when he went in there, he showed that he's got some, not only some traits where he's, that when he fills out, that one-on-one ability will come, but also his mobility to cover the ground is certainly a area of upside for him.
And one that you touched on just before, Joe Pike as well. It wasn't a terrific championship from Pike. It was, he just really couldn't get into form, and it was probably something that hurt him in the end. He played the first game against WA where he just struggled to really make any impact in the ruck. His just ruck craft wasn't really hitting these strides, and probably the same against the Allies. He just wasn't able to hit the same standards he's been hitting at talent league level. So it was a little disappointing, but again, he's probably one of those players that fits into the category of you've got to play pretty good back end of 2023 in the talent league. He's in a very talented Geelong squad, so he's got the opportunity there to do that, and it's not like he's not playing against other talented ruckmen in that league. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes, but it was a pretty disappointing championships, probably for his standards in the end.
Lockie Smith was the primary ruckman from the Gippsland Power and the Druin Football Club, and I thought his combativeness was what really took me. He's a really big boy, so you look at him and you can sort of tell he's got that country ruck vibe to him, and he was able to win his fair share of hitouts, and that's just through his sheer big body and the way he uses that. That's something where he probably did have that as an area of growth early in the season for Gippsland, because he's such a big boy, but how does he actually throw his weight around? And I thought he did that really well when he got the opportunity to go in there and yeah, certainly did his draft stocks no harm. He's able to take some marks as well and able to get involved in general play as well. So when the ball was transitioning through the middle of the ground, he was able to get the ball in his hands and then handball it out to some runners. So, yeah, I thought it was a good championships for him. Lockie Smith, and definitely boosted his stocks from where he probably sat earlier in the season, although he did win a fair few big number hit-out games for Gippsland Power as well.
Yeah, definitely an impressive one for him. And I'm going to finish with, I'll spoil it now. He's my MVP for the country. It was Michael Rudd from the Geelong Falcons, and we said this in the Metro video. I think MVP is someone, if you didn't have him, would they have performed as well? And I think Rudd was one that definitely was vital to Vic Country's forward success in the end and their ability to kick goals. His hands were terrific. He was clunking pretty much everything in a contested aerial situation, and he was converting really well. He's probably one of the most accurate. Every time it was really impact per possession, and that impact is scoreboard impact. And we know how important that is, especially, I mean, I know it's championships games, but especially talent league level, when you're playing in finals and for a premiership, you know, it's vital to have a forward that is so accurate and can do everything you need a key forward to do. So I thought he was terrific in the end, and maybe I've sounded like he hasn't done heaps, but in terms of the role he plays, I think he executed it to perfection in the end.
And my MVP would be Harley Reid, I think. Yeah. And that's obviously the MVP that was given. But just his clearance work was outstanding. He got 11 clearances in the last game. And, yeah, when he's at his best, we know how much swagger he has and how much skill he has and how powerful and explosive he is, how speedy he is. And he's got all the traits and the work rate as well. That he showed why he's going to be the number one draft picker. If I was to give another MVP, it would be George Stevens. I thought he was a key ingredient to their midfield success as well. He obviously had, like you said, he's a big body, and he was a staple through the midfield through each of the four games. Not only was he able to, like you say, his vision with his kicking, but also had the uncanny way of getting his hands on the ball and then was able to clear out. So, yeah, I really liked that because he was able to use his big frame to his advantage.
Also, we'll go to breakout now. Yep. I've chosen Archer Reid. I thought it was a good breakout champs for him. I struggled to choose a breakout because I thought, and we said this, I think everyone you expected to have like a terrific moment probably had it. Like it was nothing. There were a few moments you're like, wow, I didn't expect that from a player. But I thought Reid just was extremely impressive with how versatile he was up forward. I wasn't expecting that from him in that champs at the very least. Just his ability to kick goals from anywhere in the end for his height, I think that's something tall forwards struggle with, is kicking those different types of goals. It's just reliant on the set shots. His marking ability was really good. And, yeah, he just was pretty dominant in most of his games. I thought it was – I don't know if breakout's the right term, but in terms of a player that just lifted, I think,
Yeah.
It was probably Archer Eight.
And it was probably, yeah, like you say, breakout's probably not the right word for it, but it was the championships that he needed, because you look at players that were coming in terms of those sort of key forwards. Obviously Jed Walters, the number one key forward in the game. But you've also got Jordan Croft who played really well. You've got Logan Morris, you've got Nate Caddy, who all showed signs for their teams. Michael Rudd that you touched on. So just to keep his name in that sort of first round conversation, I thought it was vital for him. My breakout was Will Dawson. I thought we've seen a little bit of what he's been able to do at Gippsland Power level in the ruck and up forward, and he showed that he's a solid talent league player, but where does that translate to at the next level? And I thought his marking ability, whether he does become a defender at senior footy level, whatever our level of footy he does get to, is for coaches to decide, but he showed that ability to read the ball in the air was what was on show for him more throughout the championships than it has been so far this season. So yeah, was really impressed with him, and also his ability to win one-on-one. Both those skills obviously transferable if he was to go and play forward again. A 200-centimetre player is, you know, he's worth his height in gold.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's one I guess you'd have in breakout. So he was my draft bolter, Will Dawson. Yep. I mean, I'm not going to repeat what you said, but it was very obviously similar to what you said. He was just fantastic. One that definitely played as good as you could for an intercept defender, just was really, really dominant in the air, I thought, and was tough as well. He was just tough in the contest and was able to prove a point and, yeah, pretty much mirror what you've said in the end. So he was my draft bolter. So, yeah, and your draft bolter.
Yeah, my draft bolter would be Michael Rudd, and I know we've already spoken about him. So yeah, and in terms of draft bolter, it's probably just a matter of him bolting from that, you know, where exactly does he sit? And there was probably a lot of different, I think from what I've heard, there was a lot of different beliefs about exactly where he sat. Only one game in his talent league career this season. So where he kicked more than one goal. So his ability to impact the scoreboard and kick bags, there's question marks over that. But he was obviously able to kick multiple goals in each of his games. The number of marks he was taking in each game lifted compared to his talent league average this season, and the number of disposals lifted by 4. So, yeah, he lifted, and he did it when he needed to. So certainly he's gone from, you know, is he sort of a fourth rounder, is he a late, to, yeah, he's firmly put himself on draft boards and in discussions.
For sure. Last category, best 06. I'll start Sam Lawler. I think we both agree there probably wasn't a best 06, but I think in terms of the top 06, and I know who you have for this one, but they were probably the best performing. I wasn't the best 06 players, but they were the best performing Sam Lawler. I just liked what he showed. He, like I said, he matched it with players that are, you know, a year older, year more experience. He was matching it really well. His composure out of those stoppages was really impressive, and used it really well with his hands in the end, and didn't do himself no harm. And he was probably unlucky not to get an extra game, I thought, but we still know the potential's there. So it was my best 06 in the champs.
And I spoke about the efficiency and the work rate and the ability to stay calm under pressure of, you know, Sullivan before. I think he was one who was clearly the best player for Vic Country throughout the champs in terms of bottom ages. Yeah. So got a couple of opportunities and made the most of them. So yeah, no, good to see him perform. And like we say, obviously Kevin Sheen medal winner, played a couple of games of bottom major this year. And if that trajectory continues, no reason he won't be a top 5 pick next year.
For sure. And that wraps it up for our review of Vic Country's national championships. Stay tuned for our next video, where we are going to do a power rankings of the top Victorian and Tasmanian prospects. We thought it's better just to do them because we have seen bits and pieces of the other interstate boys, but it's not really fair that we haven't seen equal amounts. So we're going to do our top 20 prospects. So it'll be very interesting to see where we land a couple. I think we differ on some opinions, so it'll be very interesting. So make sure you stay tuned for that one that will be coming out not too long after this video. So thank you all for watching. Leave your opinions and comments below of who you thought were the best for Vic Country in the national championships, and we'll see you in another video.